to Ball is Life here on radio.dominican.edu. I am DJ Smooth here with DJ Radical, and we got an interesting show for you today here on Penguin Radio. We're going to recap week 4 of the NFL season that just passed by, give you our studs and duds of week 4. And then in the second segment, we'll kind of recap football again, but it's going to be fantasy football and give you some fantasy advice. And we'll also do that in segment 3 with Stardom and Sit'em. So DJ Radical, how have you been doing?
I had a pretty good week this week. We went head to head in one of our leagues, and then the other league, it was a little rough. I didn't pull away with a W. I actually ended up losing off of a Travis Benjamin fumble in the fourth quarter, which he wasn't even touched, and this man just drops the ball, and it I ended up losing by less than a point in that matchup. So it was rough.
Thank you, Travis Benjamin. Right? Basically,
should have started Michael Crabtree just sitting on my bench and had 3 touchdowns.
I don't understand why. I mean, Raiders have a better QB. Chargers don't. But we'll get all into that in the next segment. So for right now, just start off. We'll talk about just week 4, just regular football. Who impressed you? Who didn't impress you? So DJ Radical, if you want to start that off, like which game or which team did you like in week 4 of the NFL?
Okay, so...
like, which team impressed you the most?
Which team impressed me the most? I was pretty impressed. I mean, I kind of saw it coming, but what the Pittsburgh Steelers ended up doing... I mean, they needed a bounce-back game, mm-hmm. but they were going up against a Chiefs team who just dominated. I mean, and I mean dominated in fantasy, and you know... very well last week what happened, but I mean, yeah. I was surprised that they played at the level that they did.
Exactly. The final score of that game was 43-14, but it was like 22-0 after the first quarter. And that Chiefs defense that, again, like you said, dominated Ryan Fitzpatrick and the New York Jets. Pittsburgh just offense just dominated after dropping an egg against the Philadelphia Eagles. So it just kind of reverse, like they kindly just found themselves on offense and just dominated on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, and another one that really shocked me was the Jaguars actually pulling out that W over the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, Andrew Luck had a great game, but who would have thought that Blake Bortles and the Jaguars were going to come out and just have a tremendous win?
Yeah, actually, funny thing, that game was played in London, so they were showing mm-hmm. it like at 6 a.m., and for some reason I woke up like at 7:15 and just turned the TV on, and I was just, oh, there's football on. So I just started watching it, and like I was like, I knew that you had like Allen Robinson on yeah. your team, on one of your teams, the Jacksonville Jaguars receiver. So I was like, I want to see how he's doing. And honestly, Blake Bortles was just torching that Indianapolis Colts defense. The defense is bad, and just – it's what a shock, because the Colts were such a great team like a couple years ago, mm-hmm. making the playoffs, and they were supposed to be like a young team on the rise, and now they're sitting at 1-3 and probably in last in that division, where Houston now is the team of the AFC South that's supposed to be the best team for that division for years to come. So it's just how like 2 years changes like a team.
Exactly. And yeah, you are right about that. The Houston Texans are sitting at 3-1, and that division as a whole is just not looking too sharp.
It's pretty garbage if you really think about it. I mean, Jacksonville, they just got their first win. Tennessee's a young team that is still trying to figure things out at 1-3. They do have some nice fantasy players, and we will go more into that in the next couple of segments. But Marcus Mariota's got to figure things out.
He does.
The Colts defense got to figure out if they actually want to play some defense because they are pretty bad. But the thing about the Jaguars to me is that they actually have some nice weapons in Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, TJ Yeldon, Julius Thomas, Mercedes Lewis, Marquise Lee. And
yeah, that's not a bad, like those names, they're all noticeable. Got some USC guys in there, which mm-hmm. I know that you like, but yeah. I mean, it's just, I think that they're just not on the same page. And I think what it comes down to is the coaching staff.
Gus Bradley, he used to mm-hmm. be a defensive coordinator for the Seahawks. Yeah. And also, I don't really believe in Blake Bortles, to be honest.
I think that it's time that they start looking for Lamar Jackson, maybe?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson? I was thinking, like, I was playing Madden earlier today, and I was, like, thinking, if Matthew Stafford was with Jacksonville, that could be, like, a top five offense in the league, and they could be winning some games.
Yeah, because that's quite a thought right there, because Matthew Stafford needs wide receivers, and that's something that Jacksonville has a plethora of. They have nothing but young, healthy, fast wide receivers.
That can get open, like elite receivers. Like Allen Robinson's a top five receiver in the league.
Easily.
Allen Hurns is like a top 15, yeah. Top 20 if you want to. So they got a good team there. And
I'll give them top 20.
Yeah. Keep your eye on the Jaguars, because like, even though they're 1-3 right now, they did lose some like heartbreakers earlier in the season.
They did.
So hopefully, you know, they can get it together, because they were supposed to be a young team on the rise to play. So who should I pick? Teams that, you know, obviously there's a obvious one that I'm going to go with, like, first of the best. So we'll just get that out of the way.
Yeah, just run with it.
The Oakland Raiders are back.
Ravens who?
Yeah, Ravens who, right? The 3-0 Ravens. I was like, the Ravens are really 3-0.
Should we start? People were talking about, is this a team to buy in and believe? I think the Raiders answered that question Sunday.
Exactly. They got a tough road win against a top five defense in the league. Stood in there. I mean, stuck with the game. They were up 21-12, and then Ravens came back and took the lead 27-21. And the Raiders were composed. Derek Carr drove them down the field. And Michael Crabtree, what a day.
Yeah. Three touchdowns. This man was finding the buzz. Like, they were just magnet.
Yeah, what a day. And he has become a go-to target. Like, late in the games, I've noticed Carr usually leans to give it to Crabtree more than Amari Cooper.
And I think it's because of the veteran essence that Michael Crabtree brings, because they're a young wide receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have Amari Cooper, who's, he's fresh into the league, and he's been getting the first three quarters have been his, and he's been the number one target, getting him comfortable, and he's producing. I mean, Amari Cooper's not dropping it, but when it comes down to that fourth quarter, I think that Derek Carr really likes his look at Michael Crabtree.
Michael Crabtree, what a great signing last year for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, that was big time. You guys had a nice signing today as well, which you liked.
Yeah, the linebacker for the Redskins. Mm-hmm. He's had 115 tackles over the last three seasons, so he's a good signing, a good addition, adds depth to the linebacking core. Another team that I was impressed with was the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, against the Panthers.
Yes,
that was a game.
They beat the Panthers 48-33, and I think offense is on fire.
Yeah, I think that the big story though there is what's going on with the Carolina offense.
Carolina Panthers defense in, also.
There was a bad game both sides, but I mean, 33 points is a lot, I guess. But Carolina has not – they don't look like they just came from a Super Bowl loss. They look like they didn't even make playoffs last year.
Yeah, they're definitely having that Super Bowl hangover.
Mm-hmm.
15-1 last year. They're 1-3 this year, struggling. I checked the standings because I always like to look at like the tiebreakers. They're actually last in the NFC. Like, for all the tiebreakers.
They're behind the 49ers.
Yes, they're sitting in last place. They're 16 in the NFC, and that's not good from representing the NFC in the Super Bowl last year, just a couple months ago.
Yeah, that's not a good look. I also saw another statistic about the Carolina Panthers that said the last time that they made it to the Super Bowl, that next season, they started off 1-7.
Wow.
Could history repeat itself?
It looks like that so far. But back to Atlanta.
Julio Jones.
Julio Jones and that offense. And it seems like the running
Tevin
game
Coleman
getting,
and
it's getting is
good.
Starting to produce a lot.
There you go.
And yeah, I was really struggling right there, like the Carolina Panthers. But
but that's your first round pick right there, Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, and he's finally getting a.
He's hitting his stride, I think.
I just need more production from my other guys on the team. Yeah. But we'll definitely get into that
I think that, later. We'll get into that. But one another, the Bills, that was the biggest surprise for me.
Really?
Again this week.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever you blank the Patriots, that can't go unnoticed. I mean, we go back 2 weeks, and this man, Rex Ryan's fighting for his job, apparently. He's saying, I think that this next game is going to decide whether I'm still going to be a coach in this league. And now you see him here, 16-0 against the Patriots, and he's now just on the phone with Julian Edelman, dressing up as a Bills reporter. Now he's living life all of a sudden. But the Bills, I mean, you have to face the facts, and the facts are that the Bills are playing some great football, sitting at 2-2.
They have a solid team. The defense is all solid. And, again, on offense, they got some weapons. They got Sammy Watkins, who just got injured recently.
They're really unsure about him.
Yeah, but you still got, like, Robert Woods, Shady McCoy as running back. And Tyrod Taylor, he's a dual threat at the quarterback position. He can air the ball out, and he can also run it if he wants to. So they got a nice team over there. They just got to keep winning. But the thing is, they always run into either it was the Jets or the Patriots, obviously. So
yeah, the NFC East used to be something to trifle with, and it's kind of fallen off, but they might be rebuilding it now. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, for the Patriots, they have Gronkowski's hamstring. They said that it's not healing the way that they thought. And they said that he does not look good.
Yeah, he's a big threat in the red zone, and just a big threat overall, but especially in the red zone, because that's just a big body you have to cover in the red zone. Not a lot of defenders are like that, that have the speed and the strength as Gronkowski. But even though it's not healing the way they do have a nice solid backup in Martellus Bennett.
Yeah, he was their main producer, 109 yards.
So he's a good receiver to have. And then, you know, they also have Amendola and Edelman, but Edelman might have to play quarterback.
Well, I mean, Brady's free now, right?
Yeah, Brady is free.
This man has the cuffs off. All right, so what's your third?
Third team that I liked? Let me see here.
Do you want me to hop in?
No, I got it. All right. I got it. I just had to make sure.
I trust you.
I would go, like, I would say the Vikings, but I did the Vikings last week. So I'm going to go here a little out of there. The St. Louis Rams. They're 3-1. Chase Keenum is balling right now.
He really is.
Todd Gurley's not really getting the wheels turning, but they're 3-1 in first place in the NFC West. They went into Arizona, and they didn't dominate, but they pulled out a tough victory, 17-13. And just what a game. What a game.
I mean, Tavon Austin had a nice little return for a touchdown, which for sure helped them in that win, because this Arizona offense is the point that I'm going to go off of. I mean, they're really showing their stuff. Even though David Johnson might be facing some injury, he went down pretty hard, as well as Chris Johnson. And then next thing you know, Andre Ellington is in their starting running back position. But, I mean, just listen to the depth. Listen to those names. Chris Johnson, David Johnson, and Andre Ellington. Those are all – they could start anywhere probably.
Exactly.
So really no shortage of depth there. But the Rams have just played an awesome game, and the result shows it.
Yeah, but the Rams are just so confused. Everyone was throwing in the towel after week one after they got blanked by the
It's like when Porzingis got drafted.
Yeah, after the 49ers 28-0, everyone's like, fire Jeff Fisher, start Jared Goff, what's not wrong with Todd Gurley, this, and that. And now they're sitting 3 weeks later on top of the division, 3-1, tied with the Seattle Seahawks, vying to get a playoff spot. The question is, can they keep this going, though?
That's tough. I would need to really take a look at their schedule to see what type of matchups they have coming up.
Yeah.
So. But I think that anything is possible. I'm going to pull it up here really quick to see who they got. So they have the Bills, Lions, Giants, Panthers, Jets, Dolphins, Saints. Sorry, this is a lot of names. Saints, Patriots again. Falcons, Seahawks, and Niners.
That's a tough
lineup right there.
That is very tough. Even though some teams are struggling, you know, you got the Giants, Panthers are struggling, Jets are struggling, Dolphins are not that good, but still, those are tough teams to beat in tough places. I mean, look, you got to go to New York to play the Jets. You got to go to New Orleans to play the Saints. To New England to play New England, the Patriots.
That's a road trip right there. They're going to go Saints, Patriots, and then fly back all the way to the East Coast. From the East Coast to the West Coast to get the Falcons. And then they have the Seattle Seahawks, and then they close it up with the Niners and the Cardinals.
That's just tough right there.
That is tough. But, I mean, again, anything's possible. They started off cold. They're getting hot right now. We'll really see what they can do.
Okay. Real quick, one team you're just disappointed with this week.
The Giants. I was really disappointed with the Giants and how they played. 10-24. I mean, that's an ugly score to say the least. But just looking at the Giants in the first half, it didn't look good. And to come out with a field goal in two 15-minute quarters and then to not do much in the second half. The only touchdown that they got was a running touchdown when elite Eli Manning is just not performing. You have Odell Beckham Jr. with his shenanigans on the sidelines again and getting penalties called on him. I was really disappointed in the way that the Giants played. I mean, granted, the Vikings' D is tremendous, and they have proven themselves this entire season. But, I mean, you got to get more. You got to get more from them.
Exactly. And a report came out today that Odell said that he's just not having fun playing football anymore. You got any thoughts on that?
Come on, man. I mean, that's really – that irks me because this man has – so much potential, and just letting it go to waste kind of, it's upsetting. And especially in our dynasty league that that DJ Smoove and I are in, is one of the players traded up for the first overall pick.
He
traded three picks in the first five rounds, giving up his first round pick and his second round pick, and I think a fourth round pick or something, for Odell Beckham Jr. And for him to come out in his first season and have the type of season that he's having thus far, not a good look.
He had like three catches for like 23 yards.
It was his lowest career low. Three catches.
Wow.
Not hot.
What a shame. My disappointment of the team, I mean, I shouldn't expect much from this team, but I was just disappointed in the San Diego Chargers.
You know, I kind of wanted to
stay away from that. I mean,
yeah, that was awful, though.
They were up 13 with 6 minutes to go and two turnovers, two fumbles, back-to-back fumbles, make them lose the game to Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, two touchdowns in 4 minutes. Just stunned. I was stunned.
Qualcomm was shocked.
I don't think that anybody even showed up to the game. I don't think that they have a fan base anymore. And they're ready to go to Carson. But, yeah, Travis Benjamin, I mean.
Wow. Well, that's a good segue for our next segment.
Yeah, right there.
To be honest.
You want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, well, we'll give a little break, and then we'll go into Travis Benjamin and why Frankie is so disappointed in him. This is Ball is Life, DJ Smoove, DJ Radical on radio.dominican.edu.
Challenge accepted.
This is Penguin Radio.
Welcome back to Bald is Life here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. The one and only DJ Smooth here with DJ Radical, and we're about to give you some fantasy football insight, little recap of week 4 fantasy football, give you a couple studs and duds, mainly overall in fantasy football, and a little studs and duds on our own team that we were very disappointed with.
Yeah. Do you want to start off with the studs and duds overall?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's get that enacted. So give me your first stud. Receiver, first stud, obviously. It's pretty obvious. Julio Jones.
300 yards.
300 yards. He had a touchdown, 12 caught passes. He had an average of 36 points in most leagues.
Jeez.
Just killed it.
He really did.
They couldn't guard him. They tried to triple team him, and he just was not getting
I think
stopped.
It was Matt Ryan who was the reason why he did all that, because Matt Ryan has been playing back in the 2012, back
Matt
when
Ryan.
They went undefeated at home going 10-0, and they were nice. And I think that is the Matt Ryan that we saw on Sunday, and that's why he's number two on the studs list, sitting at 35 points in the average.
He threw for 503 yards and four touchdowns. Actually, crazy stat, that was the first time ever in an NFL game where a quarterback has thrown for 500 yards and a receiver has caught for 300 yards.
Like how much total offense is that was given up? I mean, that's just insane.
Yeah. So Matt Ryan, keep up the good play. I know a lot of players. I was going to actually take him. I remember seeing him late. Like, he was late, like a couple, like 10th round. He was just sitting there. And I just did have no hope in Matt Ryan, and now I'm really regretting that decision, not taking him.
Yeah, it's really just perspective and trust, and how much do you believe in Matt Ryan's potential.
Exactly. Going to another quarterback that had a great day Sunday night, Ben Roethlisberger had 34 points average for fantasy football. He threw for 300 yards and five touchdowns against the Kansas City Chiefs defense, who just put up 36 points not but 2 weeks ago, and that caused me to lose a game.
Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown is one of the best dynamic duos that I could think of right now. I mean, I'm going to put them up there with Tom Brady and Randy Moss when they went on that just terrific run.
Do you put them up there with Marvin Harrison, Peyton Manning?
No, I don't think they're that far yet. I'll put them up there. I'll put them up there with Torrey Holt and Kurt Warner, though.
Really? Torrey Holt and Kurt, the greatest show on turf? You're putting them up there.
I mean, these two guys have been together for, what, 4 or 5 years now and have been producing ever since?
True.
At what point do you have to recognize what these two what this offense is doing?
No, it's a great offense, especially if you throw Le'Veon Bell in there.
He's now back.
And D'Angelo Williams. Hopefully, you know, and they have Martavius Bryant.
And Marcus Wheaton. I mean, this is a nice offense.
Crazy. Got maybe the greatest show on steel for the Steelers. Ooh. Maybe a little
play on words there.
Yeah, hey. That's what they pay me for. That's what they pay me for.
Coming up next, though, we're going to have to take it back to the West Coast, Oaktown.
Michael Crabtree. He was just – and all the touchdowns that he did catch, the three of them that he did catch, were pretty amazing plays.
They weren't walk-ins.
Yeah. The first one was a fade route in the end zone, and he caught it. Got both feet down. Mm-hmm. That was his easiest one.
Yeah, drifting out. Just to put it into perspective how difficult these catches were.
That was his easiest touchdown of the day. The second one, he was going down the seam. He was in the slot. He was going down the seam and caught it. I think the Ravens were playing a zone, and he caught it and took a big hit from the safety, Eric Weddle.
He hits hard.
Yeah. And
he stays on his feet.
And caught the ball. And he just held it and just got up like nothing even hit him. He just got up and did his little dance.
Yeah.
Did his little signature, you know, with the finger. You know, what does he do?
He's not slitting the throat, which is what he was fined for.
Yeah. He's not doing all that.
He's not doing any of that. And then the third one, which I think was
probably the best catch of the day.
Yeah, the best of the day. Okay, I'll give him that. I don't think it's the best player of the day, but the best catch, I'll give him that. With a just back of the end zone, I think there was two or three defenders.
There was at least two.
It was Derek Carr, to be honest, who really
put it.
He put it over the top, only where Crabtree could get it, 2 feet down, drags him out of bounds, and just that's the best that I could do with that.
Yeah,
I
mean, he had his right foot down.
It was amazing.
And he caught the ball, had his right foot down, and then he had the like ability to drag his like left foot, mm-hmm. his left toe, to get the 2 feet to have the touchdown count and have the catch count to take the lead in the fourth quarter on the road. It's just
to get the W.
A lot going on in that play. And again, like you said, Derek Carr did put it there, and also Crabtree didn't make a nice move. He shook the defender to get open. So just what a play, what a game by Michael Crabtree, who's kind of revived his career in his first 2 years in Oakland, because I know his last couple of years in San Francisco weren't the great.
It wasn't. He was really overshadowed by Anquan Boldin and their whole quarterback dilemmas that were going on. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we can't forget about that was a great team, that Niners team. But Michael Crabtree, I think, is making tremendous strides in his career in Oakland. And another player that I think should be on the stud list is Derek Carr.
Yeah, Derek Carr, he had 35 points in our league. I didn't start him, though, unfortunately.
We'll break into that in literally a little bit, but let's break into the duds.
Duds? The one that stands out to me, and he's kind of been a dud the whole season, Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm.
Again, struggling. He only rushed for 33 yards. He had 49 receiving yards, which kind of helped him out. He had 7 points average around fantasy football leagues. And it's just, what happened? Todd Gurley was like, a lot of people were like, oh, I'm going to take Todd Gurley. If I have a top five pick, Todd Gurley is for sure, I'm going to take him.
Yeah, they're saying first runner for sure. He's going to be a top tier running back. This is going to be a player that you're going to look out for years to come. They're talking about Emmitt Smith type potential. And I'm just like, I don't know how people do that. I don't know how you put somebody's head that big before they can even get a chance to step onto the field and prove themselves.
Exactly. And he's only been here for, like, it's his second season. So maybe we got to give him a little more leash. But hyping him up to, like, oh, he's the next, like, Barry Sanders.
Yeah, exactly.
This and that.
I don't see it.
Yeah, Barry Sanders was nice, okay? I'm not saying Todd Gurley wasn't
yeah,
nice,
okay.
But he's still got to prove himself.
Exactly.
His team's doing great, so that's kind of all that matters to him. But for fantasy, you wasted a first-round pick on Todd Gurley, and you're just like, what is going on? Like, I need more production out of you. Because running back's a very thin position in fantasy.
Yeah, but I understand where those people are coming from. Like, yeah, okay, Todd Gurley, he did have 30-point games last year. He's had several of them. And he's that player that can take a hit and keep running. He's built for tough. I mean, this man could go through a brick wall and keep running like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate when people, I feel like it's the fans' responsibility for the reason that Todd Gurley has been playing that well, because they're expecting greatness, and what they're getting is a normal running back.
True.
A normal flex running back.
Do you think it's because maybe the Rams got to do more to get Todd Gurley going? Because, you know, other defenses are going to stack the box, put like 6-7 guys in there to stop Todd Gurley, because they know how dangerous he is, that he can have a breakaway touchdown as soon as he touches the ball. So maybe the Rams got to, you know, involve him more in the passing game, maybe get like a little couple screens going.
Yeah, it plays. Could be that offensive line as well. It could be that they haven't been where they need to be. And also, I mean, Keenum's been getting banged up. They're letting him the defense, or the offensive line's letting the defense in as well.
So maybe that's it. But Todd Gurley, for sure, in fantasy football is disappointing.
To say the
least. So far.
One that really sticks out to me and really irks me is Alshon Jeffrey. I don't get why people think this man is so great. For starters, the quarterback situation there is completely horrible.
It's pretty bad. Brian Hoyer.
And, I mean, Jay Cutler even. I mean, come on, man.
Alshon Jeffrey, though. I mean, with Jay Cutler, he does have a better chance of, like, getting the ball.
Yeah. But, anyways, Alshon Jeffrey, he's not that good. The reason that he did so well was because Brandon Marshall was getting all the attention from the secondary, which was leaving him open one-on-one. And then, yes, Alshon Jeffrey would use his big body and he could jump really high, which is what he's known for, and he gets those catches. But since it's just him now, he's starting to get a taste. And that, again, just proves why Antonio Brown is so magnificent with what they're doing over there in Steelers. Mm. Because he is he's the one that they have circled on the board.
True.
We need to stop this man. And he's still going crazy.
Yeah. Maybe you don't think Alshon Jeffrey's a number one receiver in this league?
No. I think he's
a solid two.
A solid two and a great flex.
Wow. Interesting.
If you have him in your flex and you have two players that are better than Alshon, if you have like AJ Green and Demaryius Thomas and Alshon on your flex, that's a terrifying lineup.
So if you have Alshon Jeffrey as your number one receiver, you're not really
you're
good.
In trouble.
Well, that's how I feel right now. Alshon Jeffrey is my second receiver. So thank you, DJ Radical, for just killing my dreams.
Who's your first though?
I'm gonna tell you right now. I know Alshon Jeffrey's one, and then I have right now. I'm just kind of like. Kind of just like struggling so far to find like a number, like a solid two. So I have like Golden Tate, who hasn't really been doing well the last couple of weeks. I have Jeremy Maclin from Kansas City, who just ran into Pittsburgh, didn't really do much. DeSean Jackson as my flex, Cole Beasley as a flex. So right now, kind of, also,
and you're saying that you need running backs?
I need a lot right now.
But that's the cool thing about Dynasty, you know, you have. 20 years.
20 years to fix your mistakes.
If you can get a ring, I just want a ring. Just give me a ring.
Give me a ring.
But for my, this is my wide receiver core. So I have Allen Robinson, who is my wide receiver number one. And then I have Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin, Travis Benjamin, and Tavon Austin, and Eddie Royal.
That's pretty solid.
That's pretty solid.
It's not like... I mean, Allen Robinson obviously sticks out. Mike Evans sticks out. But behind that, you have a lot of depth at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, which I like. But it's my running backs that are a little inconsistent for me. I got the Murray brothers, basically, DeMarco and Latavius.
I've kind of been disappointed in Gary Barnidge. And I know it's, like, not all his fault. But maybe because there's, like, a quarterback. Like, obviously, they don't have a quarterback out there. But I expect, you know, him to get it going, like, now, like this point in the season, he just hasn't kind of done anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because the quarterback situation. It was Josh McCown, I think, who started off there, and when he got, or no, it was RG3, and he was doing poor. And then when he got injured, the backup came in,
Josh McCown,
and then when he got injured, next thing you know, you got
Cody Kessler, the
USC. Star boy.
Star boy.
And then he's in. And you know what? That's the USC offense. They do find those tight ends. And that's why Gary Barnidge's value is starting to go up, which I ended up starting him that week where we were talking about, I mean, like, I is he going to have that turn? Is he going to do it? And I was like, well, I mean, it's a new quarterback. I think I'm just going to give him one more shot. And he ended up getting me, I think, 7 or 8 points, which is, for if you don't know about fantasy football, tight end points are basically – gimme bonus points, and as many points as you can get from a tight end is great.
Okay, so right now from either of your teams, because I know you said you won one and then you lost one. Same here, I won one and lost one. From your teams, give me your studs from your teams, and then a couple duds from your team.
All right, so studs from my team from this week. There weren't many.
Wow.
I think I'm going to have to give one of my studs was going to be DeMarco Murray. Okay, so DeMarco Murray he was my stud. He got 23 points for me in this league, 24, two touchdowns and 119 yards.
Yeah, and he's really kind of revived his career down there in Tennessee.
He really has, and I'm actually liking it a lot. I was really worried that it was going to be Derrick Henry is going to end up getting all the touches. And that first week, DeMarco Murray got a touchdown. The next thing you know, Derrick Henry's in the game. He's getting all these touches. I'm like, there goes the fantasy value of my number one running back.
Yeah.
But he ended up pulling himself together, and now he's looking pretty solid.
That's actually pretty solid. One of my studs from my team, I mean, again, Devontae Freeman. He's getting his stuff together, and he's putting out a solid fantasy input week in and week out. So I'm kind of happy about that. So Devontae Freeman, thank you. And even though I'm like, it's still kind of a running back by committee type thing in Atlanta. Devontae Freeman is getting most of the touchdowns. It seems like, I mean, he didn't get to have a lot of yards. I mean, 64 yards, but that one touchdown is pretty solid because it's an automatic 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good look. And hopefully he keeps things going this week. And he's one of my solid players so far. He's been kind of consistent the last 2 weeks. And hopefully he keeps it going because I, again, do need help. in our dynasty league. Anything I need anything, to be honest.
So again, do you want to talk about your ESPN league who you had for some studs and duds?
Because
we're both also in some ESPN leagues, which are different. We're in a dynasty league together, which is going to be continuous over all of the years. We're all going to be together. And then ESPN league, which is just year to year, and you're going to redraft each player. So do you want to talk about
A couple of studs from my ESPN leagues. I had Terrence West. Like, I picked him up earlier during the week, and that was before I knew Justin Forsett was going to be benched and then waived. He just got waived earlier today. He's no longer a Baltimore Raven. But, so I just added Terrence West because, like, I needed a running back because Ryan Matthews was on a bye. So I was like, I need someone to fill that role or fill that spot. And I picked up Terrence West, and he had a solid outing, 113 yards, a touchdown, and gave me 17 points to lead my way to victory. So I was pretty solid about that. Also, Dak Prescott, I picked him up.
That's a good pickup.
I picked him up Friday because I was like, I need a QB, and I want to start Russell Wilson, even though I should.
Yeah, the one week that he ends up producing.
Yeah, even though I should. So he also had a solid game, 245 yards, two touchdowns. Again, another solid 17 points for me. Bengals defense did good. They had an interception, a fumble recovery, and they only allowed 7 points. Anyone else? Mike Evans was okay. Kevin White came out of nowhere. He had 11 points, 6 receptions, 55 yards.
Yeah, Eddie Royal came out of the blue as well. It was weird. I don't know how the Bears offense just started clicking all of a sudden.
Yeah.
But I guess Alshon Jeffrey's taking all the attention away, and now you got new players coming in.
Unfortunately, it's good for one league and it's just terrible for another league.
Yeah. So for my studs, for my ESPN league, I just had one, and it was on my bench, and it was Michael Crabtree. It was rough. This is the league I actually lost this matchup by less than a point.
Travis Benjamin, thanks.
Travis Benjamin, thank you so much, buddy. This man, I'm up by 1.7 points or something. Like, it's something. It doesn't matter. You know, I lost. So, okay. I'm up. I'm like, this is it. I just need nothing to happen. And then, next thing you know, I'm watching the Chargers game. All right, little slot wide open over the middle, Travis Benjamin. All right, cool. He caught it. Oh, wait. It just went through his arms. And, oh, my. This man, from the beginning, it looks like it just went through his arms. But you look at the replay. And he makes a football move. He tucks it in and turns and sees, I don't know, maybe he saw a fly on the ground and loses the foot. He gets scared and drops the football. And that's how my week ended up. And I lost.
Wow. I was watching it also. And I was just sitting there. At first, like you said, I was like, oh, in fast time, it's incomplete pass. And then I see like the pile happening. And I see the refs not like, you know, blowing the whistle or saying like incomplete. So I'm just like, this is kind of interesting. And then I see him point the Saints way, like, oh, Saints have the ball. And I'm just like, what happened? Like, no one tackled him. No one touched him. And they showed the replay like 3 or 4 times. And I was just amazed. I was like, this is the first time I've seen a player fumble the ball without being touched.
Yeah, this man saw his shadow. And the funny thing is that he wasn't even my dud. I had DeAndre Hopkins, who got me 0.4 points.
Same. I have him in my ESPN league also. Garbage. Garbage.
I just want to stop playing fantasy football.
You know who actually had a solid outing for the Texans? Will Fuller. And I had him on my bench. Because he did horrible on Thursday night last week.
This man, Will Fuller, came out of the blue this week. The first 3 weeks, he was getting actually a good amount of targets. I was looking at it. And then next thing you know, he starts hauling him in. And I think it's just the comfortability level. And this man just goes off and he's on your bench.
I was so upset. Like, honestly, so upset.
Do you want to finish it up by talking about this week?
Yeah, I was going to just ask you. Yeah. So, DJ Radical, for being the fantasy football guru that you are, who are some players that players, fantasy players should be looking at to, you know, either add onto their bench to make this like playoff push because it is getting around the middle of the season, or to, you know, just kind of stash on their bench? Or are there any players that maybe you need to like sell on, sell high on, or maybe just cut regardless?
Okay, so some players that I think that should be picked up. My number one is Hunter Henry, the San Diego Chargers tight end.
Wow.
This man got so many looks, and he was catching everything. He looked really good. He looked like a veteran, and I think that he's going to fill in perfectly for the Chargers in Antonio Gates' spot.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they're playing the Raiders, and the Raiders do have trouble guarding the tight ends. Tight ends always find their way to have success against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. So that would be a solid pickup. Let me see here. Another guy that I really, really, really like, Robert Woods, wide receiver, Buffalo Bills.
Mm.
I think that's a guy that you, if you have, kind of start him as your flex because Sammy Watkins is injured and is not looking good. So he can become the number one receiver in Buffalo. But if you don't have him and he's available on the waiver wire, pick him up.
Try to claim him. I would for sure claim him on that.
Yeah.
And I'm also for Arian Foster's status. I know that I drafted him and he's just been sitting on my bench. He hasn't really been practicing, but I think that he will be somebody who is very crucial that's going to come out and emerge in the second half of this season.
Solid.
So that's what I think. I mean, this is just a prediction again, but I really believe in his ability. And somebody who, to start for sure is, I'm going to say, CJ Anderson against Atlanta's defense.
Yeah.
I think that's a must start.
Yeah, because even though Atlanta's offense has been on a hot streak, Atlanta's defense is really not that good. Mm-hmm. They've been giving up a lot amount of points, so that would be a solid start there.
And players that I don't like is the Houston offense.
Really?
Against Minnesota. They haven't been doing anything, and I doubt that they're going to turn around against a tremendous, I guess at this point, monstrous Vikings defense.
Hmm. A player I would like sell or trade or just not start, Cam Newton. Don't start him. I have him on my in my dynasty league, and he's inconsistent. He's not the consistent player, the fantasy player that he was last year. Because there was a span, there's like a 4-game span where he had over like 35 mm-hmm. points.
And that's what he's known for. I mean, he's known for rushing and getting like 50 yards because he has the ability to scramble. And then when people commit to him, he throws it deep and gets those deep bomb touchdowns.
Yeah. And honestly,
that's the Cam Newton that you want.
That's the Cam Newton I want. And that's the Cam Newton I drafted.
It's Cam Newton you deserve.
The Cam Newton, Cam Newton has not delivered. He's been very inconsistent. And obviously, as you can tell, the Panthers are struggling.
Yeah.
Regardless, so I think he's a player that, I mean, if you want to keep him on your bench, go ahead. But honestly, if you can find a trade partner and get Cam Newton and get something in return for him,
that's valuable.
That's a very valuable trade.
Like a running back.
Yeah. A receiver.
Or a wide receiver, yeah, exactly.
A number one receiver. I guess Alshon Jeffrey is not a
Cam
number
Newton
one.
And Alshon Jeffrey, though, that is a nice little package deal.
For someone.
You could shop around.
Yeah.
Put on the trading block. Don't forget to use your trading blocks if you guys do fantasy football.
Yeah, it's a very valuable,
useful tool.
Yeah. And yeah. Obviously, do your research. I mean, you obviously listen to us. We're like the first ones to come to on fantasy advice.
Yeah.
But we're
knowledgeable.
Yeah, very knowledgeable. But go ahead. Like, I'm like, instead of doing homework, I'm in fantasy, and obviously it's not working out so far.
I'm on Bleacher Report, ESPN, Fantasy Pros, like, Fantasy Couch, shouts out.
So, just a lot going on. But again, another solid week, another solid show for DJ Radical.
I mean, it's always a good time when polar opposites collide.
Exactly. And that's what happens here at Ball is Life, only on radio.dominican.edu. Again, DJ Smooth, DJ Radical, we are signing off. We will be back here Tuesday, 5 to 6 p.m. for your fantasy news and analysis. And we will see you again next week, next Tuesday. Ain't going down no crossroads. Ain't going down.
just a one.